something new on Sunday evenings, the Sunday Evening News with Paul DiRienzo.
Good evening. A deal in the stimulus package, protests continue in Chile, a mine project on native lands in Arizona, the first Native American nominated to head the Department of Interior, as a Trump advisor calls for martial law. With these and other stories, I'm Paul DiRienzo with the WBAI News for Sunday, December 20th, 2020. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said moments ago a deal has been reached in the search for a $900 billion stimulus package to help a nation suffering from a once-in-a-century pandemic.
We've agreed to a package of nearly $900 billion. It is packed with targeted policies that help struggling Americans who've already waited entirely too long. For workers at the hardest-hit small businesses, there will be a targeted second draw of the Paycheck Protection Program. We've not worked so hard to save as many jobs as possible all these months, only to fumble the ball with vaccinations already underway. Speaking of vaccines, we can nullify the success of Operation Warp Speed by falling asleep at the switch on distribution. So this agreement will provide huge sums for the logistics that will get these life-saving shots to our citizens as fast as possible. Of course, many millions of Americans have lost their jobs and continue to lose them through no fault of their own. This package will renew and extend a number of the additional important federal unemployment benefits that have helped families stay afloat. The crisis in American education has been staggering as well. So this package will supply billions and billions of dollars to help kids back in school and to do so safely. These are just some of the key components. There are many more.
And that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will have more on this story as it develops. And water cannons, tear gas grenades, anarchist flags as protesters and police battle in the streets of Santiago, the capital of the South American nation of Chile. The battle pits the government of Chile's president, Sebastián Piñera, against protesters demanding the release of political prisoners. The protests were sparked a year ago by a rise in subway fares, the last straw in a country rich by South American standards, but divided by systematic economic inequality. Last week, Piñera announced he won't pardon the protesters. Supporters say hundreds of detainees are being held without due process. Meanwhile, Piñera told leaders of the country's Catholic Church he would not consider pardons of prisoners held for human rights violations at this time. About 60 people who had participated in a 1973 coup and the bloody suppression of protests until 1990 are being held in what some call a luxury prison. In the decades of rule by strongman Augusto Pinochet, 3,000 leftists were killed and 4,000 are still missing, including Charles Horman, an American aid worker featured in the film Missing. And new caravans of asylum seekers are expected to leave Honduras in January, even if it means waiting in camps in Guatemala until they can continue their journey north. Honduras is in the grips of an economic crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, resulting in the violence driving families from their homes. Meanwhile, hundreds of doctors mobilized by Cuba have arrived in Honduras and are providing care to COVID victims in the north of the country. And President-elect Joe Biden's advisors are preparing for potential negotiations with Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro. The Trump administration had insisted it would only negotiate the terms of Maduro's surrender. Biden's advisors aren't setting that as a precondition. Reportedly, a group of Venezuelan creditors has been lobbying for the Treasury Department to lift its sanctions on trading the country's bonds. Others have their eyes on licenses that would allow them to get a foothold in the country's in the world's largest proven oil reserves. An incoming White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain said on Sunday that President-elect Joe Biden's response to the massive hacking campaign uncovered last week would go beyond sanctions. Biden is mapping out ways to push back against the suspected Russian hackers who penetrated half a dozen U.S. government agencies, including the National Nuclear Security Administration that controls access to the U.S. nuclear weapons arsenal. The Kremlin denies any role in the hacking. Last week, President-elect Joe Biden nominated New Mexico Representative Deb Haaland as his Interior Secretary. Haaland would be the first Native American to oversee the department that has jurisdiction on tribal lands. Mary Sherman has the story.
Joe Biden has nominated perhaps his most diverse cabinet pick yet. She would be the first Native American to lead the department and will offer a fresh perspective.
Somebody that is steeped into the issues and knows a lot of the ins and outs of what this administration has done to undermine the protections for our public lands and really allow the fossil fuel industry to run roughshod over those lands for the last 4 years.
Director of the Western Values Project, Jason O'Neill, adds that it's a milestone moment for Native Americans.
And our first people on this land who have lived in unison with it for thousands of generations, to have that perspective is something that so many communities haven't had, and it's going to empower them to do good things.
Biden is expected to name Michael Reagan to run the Environmental Protection Agency. Reagan is currently head of the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality. If approved, he would be the second African-American to lead the agency. But top Senate Republicans have signaled resistance to Biden's nominees, if only for what they see as payback.
I don't want retaliation for its own sake, but the threat of holding Democrat senators to their own standards has been our only means of deterrence. Of obstruction.
Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa is referring to the Senate Democrat minority that blocked President Donald Trump from assembling his cabinet quickly after his inauguration. Democrats could be forgiven for pointing out that Senate Republicans blocked hundreds of President Obama's judicial and other appointments, and that delays for many of Trump's nominees were because the nominations were presented prematurely, without the standard background checks and other paperwork ready to go. I'm Mary Sherman.
Haaland is expected to give support to Native people, beating back attempts to exploit their lands for economic gain. The Trump administration aggressively undid Obama-era executive orders that had extended protections against drilling, mining, and pipeline construction. In Arizona, Trump is fast-tracking a copper mine near the San Carlos Apache Reservation in the Tonto National Forest. The mine would be owned by Resolution Copper Mining, an investment vehicle for the Rio Tinto mining conglomerate. The area known as Oak Flats is sacred to the Apache people and would be totally destroyed by the mine, leaving behind millions of tons of waste. Haaland spoke out against the mine at a House committee hearing.
I'm sorry I wasn't here when this bill was finagled into the NDAA. I'm sorry that I didn't have a voice in Congress when it was important. And I have to say that when they do things like that, Native people, they're not heard either. That side is never heard. And so I think that if your organization, Apache Stronghold, would have had, you know, a couple million dollars in the bank, you could have hired some lobbyists to come out here and lobby every single Congress member to say, please don't vote for this. Please make sure that stays out of the NDAA because this will affect the future of our tribe, that perhaps we wouldn't even be having this hearing right now. So I want to say that regardless of what happens, we all have an obligation to stand up for underrepresented people and definitely for Native American sacred sites that are just bulldozed, blasted. I mean, it's happening across the country. I feel like this is a repeat of a hearing we had just a couple weeks ago when sacred sites were being destroyed. So I want to just mention that and know that I feel like Native folks and their sacred sites, they have waited long enough. And this hearing is proper today. And thank you for showing up. Thank you for coming all the way out here to defend your land and to talk about what's important to you because your voice has never been heard enough. And Chairman, I yield.
And that's Interior Secretary nominee Deb Haaland. The company Rio Tinto has been accused of totally destroying a 40,000-year-old Aboriginal site in Australia. And we'll be hearing more on that story later in the week on the WBAI News. The Oak Flats copper mine had been put on hold decades ago because of the area's importance to Apache culture. In 2015, Arizona Senator John McCain slipped a midnight rider provision for a land swap between the tribe and lands owned by Resolution Mining into a must-pass defense spending bill, an NDAA, they call that. At the hearing before the House Subcommittee on Indigenous Peoples of the United States, members and supporters of the group Apache Stronghold told representatives the destruction of the area would violate another law, NEPA, the National Historic Preservation Act.
Thank you. My name is Nalin Pike, and it is an honor today to testify before the subcommittee on behalf of the Apache youth. I'm a member of the San Carlos Apache tribe and reside on the San Carlos Apache Reservation in rural southeast Arizona. I am Chiricahua Apache, and my family has lived in what is now southeastern Arizona since time immemorial. The United States Cavalry had forced my people from the land and onto the reservation in the late 1800s as prisoners of war. While we had to leave our sacred places at gunpoint, these areas still retain their spiritual, cultural, and historical connection to the Apache people. At least 8 Apache clans and 2 Western Apache bands have documented history in what is today known as Oak Flat and Apache Leap. Today, Apache people come to Oak Flat to participate in Holy Ground and Sunrise Dance ceremonies, to pray, to gather medicine and ceremonial items, and to seek and obtain personal peace and cleansing.
Wenzel Nosey, Sr., the former chairman of the San Carlos Apache tribe and the founder of Apache Stronghold.
Within my hand, I hold what we call Haritin, the yellow powder. We're talking about water that's a part of the great ceremony that brings in the coming of the world. And now today, we know that we have to live with water, and that's going to be destroyed. And then the mountains. I wish some of these people would come with me and sit on the mountaintops and see how the wind comes from the south, from the west, and how these mountains move the wind to assure that certain places receive their abundance of water. Leaders don't seem to know that. It wasn't until a late night rider was slipped for us to sit here, for my granddaughter to sit here to speak, and everyone to pray, be in prayer today because of that, because of this NEPA law that could have provided all the information from the religious perspective and from the corporate perspective, because those things are really essential. Now, we need to understand what brings us here. What brings us here in this argument is power and greed. Then we say about the deception, how things were created, and how people are not told the truth. And in Arizona today, in these public hearings, 98.9% of the people disagree. The reason why they disagree now and not then was because no plan of operation was given to anybody. Just jobs and money, taxes. So people fell for that. But they didn't realize all the impact of devastation that it's going to bring.
The chair now recognizes Mr. Kevin Alice, the Chief Executive Officer for the National Congress of American Indians.
A late rider in the FY15 National Defense Authorization Act authorized a land exchange that would transfer public land in the Oak Flat area of Tonto National Forest to Resolution Copper, which is a foreign subsidiary company privately owned by a couple of mining corporations. Congress, in the National Historic Preservation Act, stated that it's the policy of the federal government, in cooperation with other nations and in partnership with Indian tribes, to provide leadership in the preservation of prehistoric and historic resources of the United States. As mentioned by the chairman, since 1955, the federal government has restricted mining within Oak Flat. And in 2016, Oak Flat was placed on the National Register of Historic Places as a traditional cultural property, which is a designation under the National Historic Preservation Act that provides the site with a very heightened federal protection. This designation didn't come overnight. It was a product of lengthy historical and archaeological analysis and demonstrates the federal government's recognition of this landscape's national, historical, and cultural significance. The federal government must do whatever it needs to do to protect and preserve it.
And that's excerpts from a hearing by House Subcommittee on Indigenous Peoples of the United States. One of the areas of sacred importance to Apache people in that region is Apache Leap, and that is a cliff where it is said that Apaches who were cornered by U.S. military forces leaped to their deaths rather than surrender. Biden was considering his friend New Mexico Senator Tom Udall for the Interior Department role. Activist groups swayed the choice to Haaland. The Sunrise Movement campaigned to appoint Haaland. The national spokesperson for the environmental organization is J.P. Mejia.
The department is vast in scope of what we decide to do with our public lands in the United States, which is definitely a huge cause and jurisdiction of our movement. So we're super excited about this appointment.
What are the politics behind this? Did he have another choice in mind and you guys mounted a campaign? Is that how it happened?
Deb Haaland was our top pick for Secretary of the Interior. And the reason for that is because when we talk about the position of a Secretary of the Interior, that position has enormous latitude to crack down on giveaways to fossil fuel corporations, like permits to drill for oil on public lands and public waters. And with a progressive leader at the helm instead, we can make real progress. And the magic behind representative like Deb Haaland, a Native American woman to hold this position, is that Deb Haaland essentially is going to usher in this new era of indigenous authority over stolen land, fits her identity. And, you know, beyond that, she's been a fierce ally of the Sunrise Movement and the Green New Deal, who has fought for renewable job creation during her tenure as vice chair of the House Natural Resources Committee, chair of the subcommittee on national parks, forests, and public lands. And her appointment to this cabinet position is honestly the best we could have asked for.
Was there a little bit of a struggle back and forth around this? Wasn't that President-elect Biden had her as his first pick, was it?
There were a lot of whisper campaigns going on in the Biden campaign, I think especially because a lot of the corporate figures that you see swarming around in the revolving door of his cabinet. But I think that Deb Haaland was one of the most touted voices by progressives, and Biden was definitely elected on a historic mandate for action on climate, on COVID, and institutional racism. And I think that this is one of the cabinet picks that the progressive movement and indigenous folks and our movement was very unapologetic about, and that tenacity that we held the administration to is what ultimately delivered this win for a bunch of movements and for the cabinet position.
After January 20th, what are you looking forward to?
Really, we are looking towards launching the decade of the Green New Deal. We don't have time to buy anymore on the climate crisis, and we have to deal with this crisis at the size and scope necessary to achieve it. It's frankly a problem that we have been asleep at the wheel for a very long time. And there are other problems like racial injustice and economic inequity that have been problems that we have been dealing with for a very long time and have been asleep at the wheel. Also, the Green New Deal presents us with an opportunity to tackle all three spiraling crises right now at the scope and level that they deserve to be tackled on. And I'm really excited to kick off the decade of the Green New Deal in 2021. And with Deb Haaland being one of the folks on Biden's cabinet to be a staunch supporter of the Green New Deal, really excited to see that galvanizing voice so close to the president, as well as the other folks that he appointed this week, like Gina McCarthy to lead the climate office. And yeah, just really excited to kick off the decade of the Green New Deal and to hold Biden accountable for all of the campaign promises that he made and see him actually govern on them. This is his FDR moment, and we expect him to follow through with it.
Sunrise Movement National Spokesperson J.P. Mejia. Senator Udall congratulated Haaland, writing she will undo the damage of the Trump administration, restore the department's workforce and expertise, uphold our obligations to Native communities, and take the bold action needed to tackle the accelerating climate and nature crisis. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. Republican and Democratic leaders said they were close to finalizing the $900 billion package to provide the first new COVID-19 aid in months. It's still unclear when they would vote to save the deal. The package would be the second largest economic stimulus in U.S. history, following a $2.3 trillion aid bill passed in March. Suzanne Potter has the story.
Includes a direct stimulus payment to needy families and billions to facilitate distribution of the vaccine and help struggling businesses and the unemployed stay afloat. Megan Fountain with Unidad Latina en Acción says help can't come soon enough.
The food lines are long, the jobs are scarce, and COVID is reaching the peak of the second wave, so things are very dire.
The compromise bill is a far cry from the $2 trillion HEROES Act proposed by Democrats, which would have sent billions to shore up state budgets and avoid cuts to social services. That bill passed the House in May, but was a non-starter in the Republican-controlled Senate. Fountain says she's disappointed that the current bill will not send direct aid to the states.
We need a robust health care system right now. Our schools need resources right now. And we're in the worst economic recession since the Great Depression. So states need aid from the federal government.
Republicans ended up dropping their demand for COVID liability protections for businesses. Fountain says essential workers, like those who clean our hospitals or stock grocery shelves, need more protection, not fewer, during the pandemic.
It's not about employers being sued. It's about workers having the right to a safe and healthy workplace. And it's about workers getting health care if they get sick on the job.
Advocates are now trying to prevent a wave of evictions that could come once the moratorium on evictions expires December 31st. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer says Congress will take up further relief next year. The bill will not be the final word on congressional COVID relief, he said on the Senate floor. And President Donald Trump's campaign said on Sunday it would again ask the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn results from the November 3rd election. Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani said the campaign will ask the high court to reverse three rulings by a Pennsylvania state court on mail-in ballots. Biden won the state by more than 80,000 votes. The Supreme Court has already rejected a lawsuit filed by Texas and backed by Trump seeking to throw out voting results in four states, including Pennsylvania, that went for Biden. And meanwhile, former Minnesota representative and Trump supporter Michelle Bachmann says she's been asking God to give Trump a second term. She's calling on God because, she says, it's the devil that got Joe Biden elected.
That's exactly when Satan was snatching away from America, ruled by the consent of the governed. In other words, stealing from us our right to vote. I am highly offended, insulted, angry, and I'm not going to stand for the fact that my vote was stolen.
Former Minnesota representative and Trump supporter Michelle Bachmann. And in similar news, a former Houston police chief was arrested after allegedly, police captain, pardon me, was arrested for allegedly running a man off the road and threatening him at gunpoint. What prosecutors say was part of an elaborate attempt to find evidence for a false conspiracy theory of widespread voter fraud. The man's name was Aguirre. He reportedly pointed a gun at the technician on the side of the road, demanding to know where 700,000 ballots were. After a search, no ballots were found. Police showed up and arrested Aguirre. And CNN is reporting a heated meeting between Trump and his advisors in the White House Friday degenerated into an ugly screaming match after Trump and his former NSA advisor Michael Flynn seemed to seriously float the idea of Trump declaring martial law and redoing the presidential election in several swing states. Flynn explained his idea on another network.
If he wanted to, he could take military capabilities and he could place them in those states and basically rerun an election in each of those states. I mean, it's not unprecedented. I mean, these people out there talking about martial law, it's like it's something that we've never done. We've done, the martial law has been instituted 64 times, Greg. So I'm not calling for that. We have a constitutional process. We clearly have a constitutional process. That has to be followed.
Flynn also expressed an expansive view of Trump's powers.
He could immediately, on his order, seize every single one of these machines around the country on his order. He could also order, within the swing states, if he wanted to, he could take military capabilities and he could place them in those states and basically rerun an election in each of those states.
Former National Security Advisor, retired General Michael Flynn. Flynn was pardoned by Trump after admitting lying to FBI agents about his contacts with Russian government officials in 2017. And controversial, opinionated, and often entertaining news commentator and former sports commentator Keith Olbermann has been following Trump from the start. He says President-elect Biden should prosecute President Trump and his advisors for treason.
This is Olbermann versus Trump, and I'm not Trump. The breaking details of the Friday night meeting in the Oval Office in which conspirators led by Donald Trump discussed their prospects of overthrowing the government of the United States in a military coup has left this nation with no other choice. Sadly, it will all fall to President-elect Biden. He must publicly state that on January 20th, his Department of Justice will act to investigate and to arrest anyone planning such a violent overthrow of the government. The president-elect may need to identify by name Sidney Powell, the delusional, lying attorney behind a series of lawsuits intended to end democracy here, whom Trump proposes to make special counsel to investigate the election. The president-elect may also need to identify by name General Michael Flynn, who also attended this seditious meeting and who has publicly called for the imposition of martial law to overturn the election. And the president-elect may need to identify by name the man who, because he merely wants Trump to issue an executive order seizing all the voting machines, was the moderate in the room, Rudy Giuliani. And the president-elect may need to identify by name Donald John Trump. Hours after the conspirators met, Trump also again proved he is not loyal to the United States, but rather to Russia. He undermined his own puppet Secretary of State's announcement that the mass computer hacking was its work. The danger of what is now Trump's final month of occupation cannot be overstated. This creature, facing state-level indictments he cannot pardon his way out of, sees the laws of this country and its heritage of civilian control of the military merely as objects blocking his way to save himself no matter what the cost. The immediate remedy is as old as the Trump occupation itself. The 25th Amendment is designed to remove a president who has lost all control of his mind or all fealty to the Constitution, or as in this case, both. Sadly, it will not be used. Remedying this coup will fall to President Biden. For while a Trump self-pardon might very well be deemed constitutional, a self-pardon for treason would not be. And what Trump did in the White House, in the Oval Office Friday night, was simply treason.
And that is Keith Olbermann. If you appreciate the WBAI Evening News and everything we bring you, please become a member of WBAI. Contribute to WBAI in these last weeks of the year when they are tax deductible. You can contact us at our address, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217, or on the web at give2wbai.org. And that's some of the news for Sunday, December 20th, 2020. The news is produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Max Schmid. From New York City, for the WBAI News, I'm Paul D'Arienzo. Thanks for listening.